Here we go. Let's draw on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour sketching cartoon characters, telling stories in word bubbles, making comic strips. I can manage a stick figure. That's okay, because stick figures are awesome for telling stories. What do you want to know about illustrating a graphic novel? Are you making a comic book? Can you tell us the plot, what it's about? Who's your hero character? What are their powers? You can call in about what you're drawing. This is the number. Grown-ups, lend a hand, 800-642-1234. So we have two awesome illustrators helping us out. Christiana Grauert is a professor in the illustration department at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Christiana, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Good morning. I'm very excited to be on the show.
Oh.
And I'm excited to get people motivated about drawing. That's what I love to do. And I hope everybody else as well.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. We also have Phil Hands, who is the editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal, only cartoonist on a staff of a newspaper in Wisconsin. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back again. It's nice to be on at 8 a.m. and not 6 a.m.
Well, I want to ask you, you know, your last name is Hands, and I think it's awfully cool that you work with your hands all day, and that's your name.
Yeah, well, it's pretty serendipitous, I guess. You know, it's drawing is something I've always loved doing, and I was really lucky enough to find a career where I could exercise that joy that I find and just sort of figuring out how the world works around me, which is really what drawing is. Drawing's a tool to figure out how the world works, and it's really fun to get to use that tool every day.
Christiana, how did you start drawing?
Same way. As a kid, I was intrigued by pencils and pen. I took them to the paper. I drew everything around me, and I kept going. If I think back about my first drawings, they probably make me chuckle and cringe a little bit. And I continued, and it was always a platform to play. And I still do that. And I sometimes still chuckle and sometimes still cringe.
You know, I mean, we start out as kids doing a lot more drawing than we do as adults. Phil, do you think it's still advantageous, even if we're not artists, to doodle during our days?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we really sort of underplay the value of knowing how to draw and understanding how drawing works. I know doodling, especially for me, is a really great way to sort of let my mind wander and helps me be a lot more creative. And so if I'm trying to come up with either a storyline for a comic strip that I'm working on or an editorial cartoon idea, doodling something else entirely is just the best way to let my mind wander and let the creative juices flow, because doing that kind of regular doodling activity where you're sort of just letting your mind wander really opens up the creativity for me.
Christiana, do you have things that you draw every day, or do you have a typical exercise you do to get into drawing?
I do draw every day, and especially I can give you an example right now that I was teaching online, and I've been locked at home, and so I can't go outside as much, and I thought I needed something to document what I'm doing every day, and so I started drawing everything that I eat every day, which also prevents me from eating the same thing every day because I wouldn't want to draw it every day. So I've been observing very closely how different food looks like. I also keep a sketchbook. And I take it with me when I travel, and I do a lot of drawings when I'm on the go. People, buildings, anything. I have found that drawing makes me remember things very, very differently than if I would take a photograph of something. A power to drawing that really gets you absorbed in the moment, and you have to watch very, very closely. And as Phil said, to figure things out, how they work around us. And a photograph, it's what part of a second, and we put it away. We might look at it again, but we're not really engaged at that moment. But when you draw, you have to look. And so the funny thing is, when you look at a drawing, even weeks later, you still remember everything that happened at that moment because you were so present in that moment. So there's great power in drawing.
And I will also add to that, I've traveled with a sketchbook before, and it is a great way to meet new people because people become fascinated with what you're doing if you're sitting there drawing either a historic building or just people in a street scene. And I distinctly remember I was traveling in India at one point, and I was in the airport in New Delhi, and I probably had a crowd of 20 people behind me watching me draw a conversation between two other people, and they were all just fascinated with what I was doing. and it's a great way to...
It's funny that you're saying that, Bill. I've done the same thing, and it's absolutely... And people are amazed, and they are very... they're very polite, and they're curious, and want to find out more. But they also, they give you a certain freedom to be there and do that, and they tend to be very supportive.
We're talking with Christiana Grauert, who teaches illustration at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Phil Hands is here as well, editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal. Do you like to draw or doodle or look at buildings and sketch them? Maybe you're working on a comic right now. What are your favorite things to draw? Do you want to be an artist someday? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. So I'm wondering, Phil, is there a way you get warmed up before you start a new drawing? Do you have any exercises for your drawing skills so that you can get started in the morning?
I don't really do a whole lot of exercises. I probably should. It would probably make me a better artist. If you've seen my cartoons, you know I'm not the world's greatest drawer. But I will say that... Just some loose sketching is the first thing that I usually do every day, just to get a feel for stuff. I will give people a piece of advice, which is when it comes to drawing, you know, and I've taught some cartooning classes over the years, and the first thing I do is I draw a circle, a square, and a triangle on a blackboard or a whiteboard, and I say, you know, you take those three objects, the circle, the triangle, and the square, and you can draw anything in the world. You just have to figure out how to put them together. And I always tell people to break down their drawings into objects, those simple objects, because that's how you, those simple shapes, because that's how you will figure out how to draw.
Well, when you say it that way, it makes it feel like drawing is really within reach. Christiana, what drawing games or exercises would you recommend for kids?
Oh, there's so many things that you can do. And the wonderful thing about drawing is that you don't need much, just a piece of paper and a pencil, nothing fancy. And what prevents us from drawing is just ourselves, because we think we are not good at it. But that is not what matters at all. It's about taking the pen to the paper, and it is your vision. And so you can make it work any way. And so some things to get started, following up on Phil's idea of a circle and a square, maybe draw out a whole bunch of circles, take a coin, trace it, take a small glass, and have 50 circles. And then let your imagination run wild. What's all in a circle? Fill those circles. Is it a hamburger on a plate? Is it a wheel? Is it a smiley face?
It's bubbles.
Bubbles.
I will say, I think Christiana forgot one important tool for drawing, which is an eraser. That's the tool I use more than anything else. There are some people that feel like once you put a line down, you can't get rid of it, and that is completely not how drawing works. Drawing is, I spend as much time erasing as I do drawing on anything.
Phil Hands, cartoonist at the State Journal. Christiana Grauert teaches at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. What are you drawing these days? What do you want to learn about drawing? 800-642-1234. We'll talk in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're learning to draw and discovering why being an illustrator is such a cool job. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. graphic novels, they're like potato chips, right? You can't enjoy just one. You always want to devour more and more amazing stories with the stunning artwork. I just finished New Kid. It was so great. So let's get back to learning how to make the art. Do you have a sketchbook? Where do you find inspiration for the things you draw? Are you working on a comic book or graphic novel? What help do you need? Here's the number, 800-642-1234. We have fabulous illustrators helping us out. Christiana Grauert and Phil Hands, they stay with us. So Phil, Will is listening and emailed us to say that they commissioned someone to draw cartoon versions of their bunnies. And Will says they quickly found out how difficult it was to have the artist draw what they imagined in their head. And Will is asking, do you have any advice to help get what's in Will's head onto the paper?
Oh, boy. That sounds like sort of the crux of drawing. You know, sometimes it's really, you know, it helps. I do this a lot, is I sort of imagine what I see on in my head, and I try and, like a transparency, transpose it onto the paper and see if I can follow along the lines in my mind onto the paper. But that can always be hard, and you know, creating personality in animals and the way you imagine them is a trickier, one of the trickier things I find to do in art. So good luck to you.
Christiana, are there any tips that you have for drawing things realistically?
Oh, I would say definitely observing, looking at things very, very closely, and practicing. I mean, drawing is a little bit like doing cartwheels too. You don't start out with the first cartwheel and it's perfect. It might be a little wonky, but it's still fun, and you have to keep drawing the same thing. And most important is really looking closely. We think we know how something is built or how it functions, but until we study it very, very closely, we miss a lot of things. We just, our eyes slide by, and we think we understand it, but we don't really. So I would recommend taking something, a potted plant, a shoe, a key, and then really, really, really closely looking at it and trying to capture everything that's in there. Doesn't matter if the drawing is perfect, but it's about you having understood what you're trying to draw.
Is that what you call the exquisite corpse game?
Oh, the exquisite corpse game is some other fun game.
Okay.
No, that is, we don't draw the life out of things, but we make them. This is a fun exercise when you have somebody else around, at least another person. Best is if you have two or three, and you each take a sheet of paper and you start drawing out a head on top, fold the paper over, and the next person, you rotate it. The next person continues with the torso, folds the paper over. You don't show what you're drawing. The next person continues with the legs. And then you rotate it one more time, and somebody else finishes with the shoes. And then, surprise, you unfold it, and all of a sudden you have an entire figure built from different parts that everybody contributed. Those things can be a lot of fun. Another idea that I think always works nicely is working on a drawing together. Because whenever you get stuck, somebody else takes over. And then you sort of play off each other's ideas and add to it. And that can be liberating and fun and inspiring. And it's also something that you can do together.
Yeah, a little tag teaming there.
I always suggest doing that for comics, too. So I often will do an exercise with students that, you know, I will start a comic strip or a comic page, and each one does a panel and then passes it around and continues the story along. You find some really great stories and really great ideas through doing that.
Well, let's take a call. Conrad is here from Milwaukee. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I think you may have answered part of my question, but I work on a, I'm an artist, I work on a social justice comic, and I find that often I have all the pictures laid out. I may have six or eight panels done, and I have a concept where the story is going, but I struggle with finishing that script to speak the message exactly as I'm imagining it. So I guess my question was, do you collaborate with other writers? Or I think you touched on it a little bit, but could you spin that out a little more?
Oh, yeah. I want to throw that to Phil, how you put words with those pictures.
Well, I will say, admittedly, whenever I'm doing a comic strip, I always write backwards. That's just how I write for my, when I do the Mendota March comic strip in the Sunday Wisconsin State Journal each week. The joke at the end, the last panel is always what comes to me first. So I have the idea of how I want to finish it first, and then I just write to that. And that's how I write comics. So I would suggest making sure you know, because the last panel is the most important thing, you know. And if you don't have that set in stone ahead of time, you're going to kind of be flopping around for it. So get that last one done first and then write to it.
Christiana, do you have any tips there for Conrad and how to blend words with those illustrations?
I think definitely while you're in the process of laying it out, work on both of them simultaneously. Don't necessarily finish and get the artwork perfect already, but sketch out what could be, again, stick figures, circles and squares, and put the words, might not be complete sentences yet, but sort of the key moments you want to talk about together. And then see, because both things work together, they have to function together, and one shouldn't be an add-on to the other. So keeping them in the process, pushing them both through at the same time, I think will also help.
Conrad,
I never complete artwork until I sort of know where the story's going, you know, because it can change. Yeah, the artwork might have to change to align with how the text changes. So
we're talking with Phil Hands, editorial cartoonist for the Wisconsin State Journal. Christiana Grauer teaches illustration at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design as we discuss drawing and doodling and comic strips, any art there that you're doing right now. Let's go to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I just wanted to know, I took a drawing class called CAD, Computer Aided Design or Drawing. Okay, they showed us a program or a website called Freehand Sketching on the computer and be able to erase, develop, or change and everything. What is that website where we can make freehand sketches on the computer?
Mike, thanks. Christiana, how can computer-aided design and those resources, where would you suggest that might go?
Oh, absolutely. We nowadays have different platforms to work on, whether it's digital or in the traditional media. I think ultimately it is still about sort of training your hand and kind of working loosely with it. So any kind of drawing or sort of painting program, whether it's Procreate, Photoshop, paints could work, and sort of drawing it loosely. What the surface is doesn't matter, but I would say definitely using your hands and not trying to construct things too much will give you a better understanding of how the drawing process functions.
And Phil, you use computers all day long for your drawing.
I have been now, yeah, since the quarantine, since this lockdown's been in place. I haven't been to my office where my drawing table is, so I've been drawing on a Surface Pro computer for the last couple of months. And I use a drawing program called Clip Studio, which is not too expensive, and it's pretty responsive. And I draw right on my screen, which is helpful. But I still miss drawing on paper with a pencil and a pen, you know. So.
Christiana, what would you say about perfectionism that may get in the way of our ability to be creative?
Oh, yes, that can be our worst enemy. And as I said, we're the people we prevent us from drawing, it's ourselves. And so I would say we have to be generous with ourselves and not too critical, and also understand that things don't have to be perfect. We draw because we bring something to it that's our own vision. We are not trying to draw to make it look like a photograph. but something that we distinctively see. And if it comes out a little bit less realistic, a little wonky, it will still have a certain level of personality that is us. And so it is us in the drawing. And I think we should embrace that. And then would say,
I think we should hide Phil's eraser is what I'm thinking.
I agree with Phil to a certain degree, and I do need the eraser once in a while too. But sometimes you also have to say, this is the line I make. I have to own up to it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. Christiana Grauert, professor in the illustration department at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Phil Hands, editorial cartoonist at the Wisconsin State Journal. And here's something coming up. And turn another page of your sketchbook. We have graphic novelist Raina Telgemeier coming up. So let's get sketching. Raina's coming up after the news. Feist is counting to four on the street here on the Ideas Network. Oh, we are in for such a treat here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and I am so thrilled to welcome a very special guest. She is an extraordinary graphic novelist. You might have her books on your bookshelf or see them in the school library. They pop with those bright colors. They're called Smile, Drama, Sisters, Ghosts, Guts. She draws her life stories about things like getting braces and what it feels like to have anxiety. And she started drawing in about fifth grade. So what do you want to ask Raina Telgemeier about her illustrations and her books? This is the number to call Grown Ups Help, 800-642-1234. Raina Telgemeier, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
When did you realize that illustrating and drawing and doodling was something more than an outlet for you, that it was really helping you in your life?
I started drawing when I was an infant, you know, as soon as I could hold a crayon and pieces of paper. And then, all through elementary school, I was using art to communicate my thoughts, my ideas. But it wasn't until I discovered comic strips, which was in about the fourth grade, that I realized that I had found the magic combination, which was words and pictures together. And so I started making comic strips. I started trying to make people laugh with comic strips. It didn't always work. That's one of the challenges, I think. And I really just made them for myself. So after school, I'd go home and I'd want to write about my day and all the things that had happened to me and all the conversations I'd had with my friends. And so I started just illustrating my friends and I and putting word balloons in our mouth. And then trying to show little sequences of the things we did. So I made comic strips for myself in private for many, many, many years before I realized that what I was doing just for me was something that I could do and share with other people.
And so these were just, you know, everyday life experiences. There weren't big superheroes overtaking your comic strips?
No. And that's part of why for so long I thought, well, I could never do this for a living. It doesn't look like what my impression of comics is, which is, as you just described, either superheroes or comic books, you know, very colorful, 24 pages. And comic strips were my first passion. But like I said, when I started trying to do them and show them to people, they were the standard, you know, three or four panels and a punchline. Punchlines are really hard to write. And I didn't feel like it was my wheelhouse. So it wasn't until much later when I discovered that there were something called indie comics or independent comics that people were making themselves that I found just this vast universe of different genres and different formats and people talking about all sorts of things, both from their own perspective and from the perspective of characters, that I realized, okay, there's maybe a place for me in all of this.
Well, Jackie wrote to us saying we have some questions coming at you. Jackie is a fifth grade student at Stevens Elementary in Madison and wants to really know where you got your inspiration to write your books.
Well, the inspiration for my first book, which was Smile, came from something that happened to me when I was in middle school, which was that I had a terrible dental accident. And I had been telling people that story out loud for years because it happened to me when I was 11. And by the time I was in my mid-20s and I was already making comics as a thing I did for fun, I decided I am just going to try and commit this whole story to paper. It's going to be long. It's going to be complicated, but I'm just going to start writing it down and see what happens. And so that's where the idea for Smile came from. And after Smile was published, people were so interested in hearing more stories about my life and my childhood that I started digging deeper into things like my family relationships and even into my own internal world, which might be the scariest thing of all to write about. How do you feel? Why do you feel that way?
Because you have to confront some things and think about them. And I'm wondering, did you ever have to do like any family meetings to say, hey, everyone, I'm going to write about this thing that happened in our life? Because there are other people, you have other family members.
I do. I let them see the scripts. So I write down the ideas. I write down the story. That can take a while. Sometimes that can take longer than anything else. But like I showed my sister the script for Sisters before it was published. And I said, if there is anything in this book that you don't feel okay about, I want you to tell me. And mostly she just helped to inform the way that my brother acts in that story. She remembered better than I did that he was a very, it was hard for him to sit still when he was a little kid. So he used to tap everything and make up little songs and stuff. And it drove her crazy. But I didn't remember that detail because I guess it didn't drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So they helped me bring some authenticity to it. I want my family to feel like it's something that they can be proud of, too. So, yeah, I take that into consideration very strongly.
Well, let's take a call now about your book, Sisters. Isla is joining us from Wanakee. Hi, Isla.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. What's your question,
Hi,
Isla?
Dana.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I love your sister's books. I am wondering, did you actually get a kingsnake stuck in your mom's car?
That is a true story. Yes. My sister got a snake, and I did not like the snake because I don't like snakes. And then something was wrong with the way the snake was eating. So my mom and sister went to take it back to the vet, and they put it in a paper bag, which probably wasn't the best idea. And then while they were in the car going to the vet, the snake got out of the bag and it crawled up into the front side passenger seat. And it stayed there for 6 months.
Oh, no.
And we tried everything to lure it out. We put, you know, mice in the car. We put food out. We put traps. We put all sorts of things. And after several months, we figured, well, it's probably dead because we haven't seen it and it hasn't eaten in this whole time. No, it was not dead. 6 months later, it came back out.
Well, that is a perfect plot for a graphic novel. Or at least one thread. We're talking with Raina Telgemeier. She's with us, a best-selling graphic novelist. And you can join in. Do you hope to write books or graphic novels someday? What are your questions for Raina about her books and about what it's like to be an artist? Join in at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email your questions to ideas@wpr.org. We have another listener, Alina, who says Alina loves your books and is wondering if someone wanted to be an author like you, what would you say to them? What would you suggest?
Well, I am guessing that this question comes from a person who's younger than me and maybe hasn't graduated from college yet. So there are so many things you can do right now. And the first one is to draw. Try drawing what you see in front of you. Try drawing things that exist only in your mind. You can even try copying your favorite characters that already exist. And that's fine. It's fine to copy because that's part of how you learn to make shapes and to put them down on the page. But it's important not to copy and then say that it's yours and say that you created this character. But, you know, practice. And if you're interested in making comics specifically, it's really important to listen to the way that people talk and to the way that conversational rhythms happen. And normally I would suggest going out into the world, you know, with a sketchbook or a notebook and trying to jot down what you hear people saying out in public. Obviously right now that's maybe not the best idea, but you can try this exercise while you're watching television or with your family members at home or with your friends over Zoom. Just kind of start to get a feel for the way that words work. And then with observational drawing, that's the best way to figure out how things look. And if you find that you, go ahead.
Do you still practice drawing every day? Do you get warmed up?
Oh, I wish I could say that I did. I've done it for so many years that I have a pretty strong muscle memory for the way that things look. So I don't spend as much time warming up as I should. But when I'm traveling and when I find myself in new places, especially if it's a place where I have time to just sit and be for a few hours, I love to pull out my sketching tools. And so I have all these little, they're just like ink drawings of places that I've traveled, outdoor places, indoor places. It's very relaxing. I wish I had more time to do that in my regular life.
And so now when we're all at home, how are you spending your days now during the pandemic?
It's actually not that different from the way I spend my days anyway, which is that I spend time on things like email and making food for myself and taking care of my cats. But I'm also sitting and thinking and I'm writing and I'm sketching. And I'm not in the middle of working on a book at the moment. I have an idea for a couple of books percolating, but I haven't sat down to start drawing the actual art. So this phase of it is just more about taking in. So I'm reading a lot of books and I'm watching a lot of television and I'm looking at art that other people do. And I'm just kind of a sponge right now, absorbing everything. And then when it's time, I will be very busy and chained to my desk. But yeah, my life right now is pretty quiet and everybody in my family is healthy, thankfully. And I've got a great network of friends that I live near that we're all kind of, you know, dropping fruit off on each other's doorsteps. It's kind of like a real life Animal Crossing right now.
Well, your cats must be so happy that you're at home and near them.
Yeah, they love it.
We're talking with graphic novelist superstar Raina Telgemeier. Her books for middle school draw from real life experiences that we've been talking about. Maybe you've read Smile or Drama or Ghosts. What inspires you about Raina's books? What characters remind you of experiences you've had in life? How have they helped you in your life? Let's talk about it. Here's the number, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We will be back in just a minute with Raina Telgemeier right here on the Ideas Network. It is graphic novelist extraordinaire Raina Telgemeier who's with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Maybe you recognize her from the Babysitter's Club series. Is her book Smile one of your favorites about her teeth misadventures and visits to the orthodontist? What do you want to know about her job and what it's like to be a graphic novelist? Still time to talk with her. Here's the number, 800-642-1234. Let's take another call now. Sophia is with us from Wanakee this morning. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Raina. I love your
book.
Hi. Me and my sister like to snuggle up and read it. Did you like the trip from San Francisco to Colorado, and what was the best part?
I had a pretty good time on that trip. Yeah, it was really long. My family probably could have done that drive in a couple of days, but we did it in a week in either direction so that we could stop and be tourists and see the sights. And we stayed in campsites the whole way, so it wasn't too expensive. So, oh gosh, we went to the Grand Canyon on the way home, which does not make it into the book, but Grand Canyon's amazing. And I think after all of that time spent just on boring roads and in the car and fighting with my siblings, to see something like that, it's very humbling. And it kind of put us all in a quieter headspace.
I can't imagine how you would draw the Grand Canyon.
I didn't. That's why it's not in the book.
Oh, dear. Well, Sophie.
So what I... go ahead.
No, go ahead. Carry on.
I was going to say, the things that stand out in my memory, because this happened quite a while ago, were just the quieter moments and the sort of smells and the feelings that I got and the little interactions between my family members. I remember my mom having to get gas at a gas station, and it was pouring rain and she didn't have a choice. And this was back in the days when there wasn't like an ATM machine attached to the gas pump. So she had to go inside of the little station and then pay. And then she had to go pump the gas. And so she came back from doing that and got back into the car soaking wet. And she looked at us and she said, "Whoa, doggies." We all looked at her like she was crazy and then started laughing at her. And she was like, "What? That's an expression. That's a thing people say." But it stands out in my mind as just such a dorky, like funny thing. But I didn't put it in the book because there was no perfect place for the moment to be in the book. And I would have kind of had to explain how it was so dorky. But, you know, there's a lot of memories like that one that are part of that experience.
Well, Dahlia is a fifth grader at Rome Corners Intermediate in Oregon, Wisconsin. And Dahlia wants to know, how do you know how to draw just the right expressions on your characters?
That is a great question. So cartooning is a lot like acting. And when you're thinking about what a character is saying, where they are, who they're talking to, you, the cartoonist, are thinking about every part of their face and, you know, the position that they're sitting in. And so you throw yourself into it. And I keep a mirror next to my desk so I can see what my face looks like. And sometimes I get up out of my chair and I try and put myself into a dynamic position so that I can really feel what it feels like. And then that helps me to draw the character on the page. But I also study other artists who draw faces, and I look at people's faces in real life. And sometimes I ask my friends to pose for me. So this is another skill that you can absolutely develop over time. And it comes to you more naturally the more you do it.
Well, let's take another call now. Reese is here from Holman. Hi, Reese.
Hi. How did you get the idea of ghosts, and do you believe in ghosts?
Do I believe in ghosts? I believe in memories. So after people pass away, I believe that the memory of that person sticks around for a long time, and that you may remember them very fondly and very deeply. So it's kind of like that person is still with you in a lot of ways. And the idea from the book came from a lot of different places. I had been grappling with a couple of different losses in my life, one of which was a 13-year-old girl who passed away from a brain tumor. And she was such a great little kid. And she was so optimistic. And she was the one who, when everybody else was upset and worried about her health, she was like, "It's going to be fine. I feel great right now. Like, please don't cry." And her story just inspired me so much, but I didn't want to tell her story particularly. And I was also inspired by the place that I grew up, which is Northern California. And we have these windswept beach landscapes. The beach in Northern California is not where you go to sunbathe. Mm-hmm. And it's not warm. It's like the water's not good for swimming. And so it ends up being much more atmospheric and a place that people go just to walk. And it's very mysterious. There's often fog. There's sounds and
the water crashes against the rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so visceral. And so I thought about this place, I thought about my, you know, people that I had lost. I thought about lore and stories that people tell each other. And it all sort of came together over quite some time. It took me, I think it took me about 8 years to create that story in my head before I started actually working on the comic.
Hey, Reese, are you still there?
Yeah.
Do you like the book Ghosts? Are you reading it now or did you finish it?
I finished it. I've read it about 5 times. It's my favorite.
Aw, thank you.
Do you find something new every time you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you like that, to be able to discover something new when you reread something. Raina, do you do that? Do you read things sometimes multiple times to find new things?
I do with comics. I can read my comics over and over and over again because I find that the first time I read a comic book, I'm reading it pretty quickly just to find out what happens and to get the story. And then I need to go back as soon as I've read it to kind of go slowly and to really look at the pictures and to absorb how the artist set everything up in the story. And then I go back again and again, sometimes a year later, sometimes a week later. It always hits me differently. And I feel like I learned something. So I do hear sometimes from parents who say, oh, you know, this is a great book, but they've read it again and again and again and won't read anything else. And I think, gosh, there's so much to be gotten out of those rereads. They're so valuable. It's doing so much to your brain. So I'm all for it.
Well, let's go to Sydney now in Verona. Hi, Sydney.
Hello. I would like to ask, how many fish have you had and do you remember the name?
Oh my goodness. How many fish did my family have? A lot. But I don't remember all of their names. I remember that Rosemary was the first one that I had. And Bubbly was my sister's first fish. And then Bubbly died. And then we got Bobo Lee, which is named after the pizza crust. Those are the only three I actually remember. But I know there was a much longer line of fish. And my brother probably had a fish. And my brother actually had an iguana a little bit later down the line. And yeah, we've had a lot of weird pets over the years.
Well, we're almost out of time, but do you have any suggestions where kids can go to get some good feedback on their comics that they're writing?
I think that your peers, your friends, your classmates might be the best critique group. And it's scary to show people what you've been working on, but that's the way to get better. And, you know, finding that person who's good at looking and thinking and talking, that person might be a good critique buddy. But if you don't have classmates or peers that you can turn to, you can always go to the library and ask a librarian if they have a comics club. And if they don't have a comics club, you might be able to ask to make a comics club. And there might be local cartoonists in your area who'd be willing to come in and spend an afternoon talking about comics and helping you get better at them.
Raina,
and there's places online, too.
Raina, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Raina Telgemeier is a cartoonist, author of multiple best-selling graphic novels for kids, including Smile, Guts, and Sisters. Okay, you don't want to miss next Friday when Goosebumps author and professional scary storyteller R.L. Stine is here joining us. That is After 8 next Friday. Be there. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show. And oh, child, you are listening to the Ideas Network.